Fast Eddie here on the line with air show performer Skip Stewart. Hey, Skip, how are you?
Hey, Eddie, I'm doing great. Good to be here.
I hear you're in Alaska right now.
That's right, yeah, at the Arctic Thunder Air Show.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. Skip, what's on my mind today is very simple. Air show safety and rules in other countries. I understand you had an interesting incident regarding that.
I do a lot of air shows in various countries, but I'm not sure exactly which one you're referring to.
Well, I heard there was an air show. I don't know where it was, but they wanted you to change your routine.
Yes.
You have the low-level waiver in this country, and they don't have it over in that country, and they wanted you to change your routine, and you refused.
Yeah, that was an interesting situation. It's an air show I'd done before. It was over in the United Arab Emirates. And the first time that I did the show, I don't want to say there were no rules. In some ways, they were much more restrictive than they are in the United States. And in other ways, they were much more lax. They basically took each performer on a performer-by-performer basis. And you would perform for their committee, and they would decide what they were going to allow you to do, whether you'd fly the surface or 250 or 500 or at all. It was kind of like taking your low-level waiver test for every air show that you wanted to do there, which I thought was a great way to do it because, some of us pretty much just they trusted us to do whatever we wanted to because they trusted our judgment, which I thought was a great way to do it. So then I went back the next time, and they had decided to use UK rules, and everyone was supposed to fly with a hard deck, which I hadn't practiced. And not only had I not practiced that, but it had been a few weeks since I'd practiced anything because my airplane was on a container ship for 5 weeks getting over there. But at first, the air ball said, "We understand you've got a surface level waiver from the United States, and we're going to allow you some leeway because of that." And I said, "Great, because I practice on the surface, and I need ground effect, and all my targets are based on the surface, and so forth." And then after I started practicing on practice day, they started yelling at me on the radio that I was flying too low. I needed fly higher, and they kept talking the whole time I'm flying on the radio, which is also kind of a hazard. Really the only thing a performer needs to hear when they're flying on the radio is that there's a problem.
Right.
And of course they thought it was a big issue, and I'm trying to tell them that I had permission from the air boss because I had a low-level waiver from the United States, and they kept yelling at me, and finally they told me to stop, or I think I told them I was going to stop. Sort of an argument ensued as to who said what and what permission I had from whom, and they said, "Well, during the show you'll have to fly with a hard deck," and I told them I hadn't practiced that, and that I could do a few maneuvers, but I wasn't going to be able to fly my show without and let them know that they were going to do that in the future, that they should give performers enough of a heads up.
Yeah, that's a major inconvenience to you because like you said, your plane was on a container ship for 5 weeks. That means 5 weeks you're not doing anything with it.
Yeah, and as historically, there's been several instances where the FAA or others have asked performers to change their show, and it not worked out so well. So
exactly.
We have to keep that in mind,
This is a safety issue because you practice your show exactly the same way every time.
That's right. But I can tell you that as a result of that, and since I do fly in such a diverse group of air shows all over the world, I have prepared what I really call a high show. You say you have a high show and a low show based on weather, but my high show and low show are pretty much the same. I just remove a couple of maneuvers. But what I've done now is I routinely practice a show at a higher, using a deck angle. I mean, a hard deck. And it really does change everything. You don't have ground effect. Your speeds are different. Your reference points are different. You have to look at the altimeter when you're coming out of maneuvers, instead of looking at the ground. So, it's a discipline that I think is maybe a better pilot, to be honest. But it also has given me the ability to, if somebody wants to say, "Hey, I want you to fly with a hard deck," I can say, "Hey, well, I've practiced that. Maybe I'll get one flight in, and I'm good to go." So, it was a communication problem with that air show, and it was definitely a safety issue for them to ask me to change my show. But as a result, I think you know, it's kind of made me better because maybe I should have been prepared for that in the first place.
Well, how many air shows do you fly in different countries?
Well, let's take this year, for example. I started off in El Salvador, and then I flew in Martinique in the French Virgin Islands, and Leon, Mexico. Then let's see if I have any others. I mean, you know, Alaska's in the United States, but it's sort of a foreign country. Last year I flew in China and also in the United Arab Emirates. In the spring I'll be flying in Australia. I get probably half a dozen requests. China wanted me to come back this year, but they waited till late. It already been booked on their two weekends. But quite a few. I've flown in Honduras. Probably going to fly again in El Salvador, Honduras, Cozumel, and Martinique in the next couple of years. I built a second airplane just so I would have one that I could keep here and fly U.S. shows while the other one's on a container ship going somewhere. But most of the foreign shows I actually fly the airplane to.
Right. But one other consideration is it's not just you flying them. It's a lot of other people flying it as well, and they have to be aware of the problem. Have you gone through, when you are contacted by a country outside of the United States, do you go and ask them, hey, what kind of altitude restrictions are we going to have?
Well, what I tried to do in the beginning was say, look, this is the way I fly. You know, I'm a surface level performer. I practice on the surface. I'm kind of a specialist that way. And I just put it in my contract that I would be allowed to fly on the surface. And if their country did not allow that, then I would need to get a waiver so that could happen. And that's, I actually had that in place in UAE, and you know, they just didn't look at it. So you have to be prepared. What am I going to, you know, and they already ship my airplane, you know, paid to ship my airplane over there, and there I am, you know. So that's kind of, do I want to have to do something? It's just a bad situation to be in, or give them $30,000 back for the shipping expenses.
Yeah,
yeah. So I just try to be a little more proactive now, and there was a point in the past where I would just tell them, you know, if I can't fly the service, I'm not going to fly because I don't want, you know, videos to show up on YouTube and then be like, you know, who's that guy? Because that's that my worldwide popularity has pretty much come from that, from YouTube videos and word of mouth. So to me, flying at a 250-foot or even a 50-foot hard deck is going to affect my popularity.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But you know, these days I'm a little less strict on that. You know, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with what I've achieved in the airshow industry, and I don't really feel like I need to push for much more. I'm just going kind of for experiential the experience now, and so if they want me to fly 250 and they're willing to pay me to do it for a exotic country, then I'll just make that happen.
Oh yeah, obviously, but it's difficult as a performer for you to come in there expecting to be able to use your surface waiver, and then boom, they say, oh, you got to be up at 250 feet, and you're
yeah that's right,
that's one
or
of those,
even 50 feet. You know, the one at the UAE was 50, and it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but you know, and I tried to do it at 50, and they were still yelling at me. And it's just, you know, you don't need to be trying to make it up as you go along. It's just not safe.
Right. With your surface waiver in the United States, nobody has given you a hard time about that, right?
No, well, not, absolutely not. I mean, the surface level waiver in the United States, that's what it is. You know, it's, there are actually very few restrictions, primarily based upon distance from the crowd and energy towards the crowd. And as long as you abide by those, you can do whatever you want, you know. So it's no flack at all for that.
Okay.
And I can tell you that you're talking about flying in other countries. Sometimes those rules don't apply. You know, you get to some countries where, you know, we're talking about one where that is more restrictive. And by the way, there's no correlation. There's no proof that shows that a hard deck is any safer for the performers than a surface level waiver. In the United States, even guys with 250-foot waivers have, at least at one point in time, had a higher accident rate than the ones with a surface level waiver.
Right.
But there are countries where, you know, there aren't any, there are no distance from the crowd. You know, they want you to fly with the crowd right there, you know, almost under you. And if flying over the crowd is okay, and, you know, directing energy towards the crowd is okay. So in those situations, it's up to us, you know, as disciplined performers in the United States to apply those rules to ourselves wherever we can, within reason, because you know, if you go to a show where they want you to fly 50 feet from the crowd and you're flying 500 feet from the crowd, chances are you're not going to get invited back to that show. So, you know, it's kind of like when in Rome, to a certain extent, because, you know, you still have to be safe and
absolutely.
You still have to use judgment. And,
yeah.
I think that's an even bigger problem because we're talking about performer safety. I mean, we're talking about spectator safety rather than performer safety in those countries. So that's, you know, if you want to talk about regulation changes and things that need to be focused on, that's probably more important than the countries where they don't have the regulations in place to protect the spectators.
Right. There are far too many accidents that have happened, clips on YouTube of pilots getting in trouble directly over a crowd. Way too many of them.
Yes. And the other thing in those countries, you know, a lot of times it's you don't even need a pilot's license, much less a, you know, a statement of aerobatic competency to fly in front of a crowd. So you can just have any local guy in his airplane, you know, get in front of his hometown crowd and try to show off. And we all know that's a recipe for disaster most of the time.
And that's another point, too, because every year you have to be recertified with your act by an aerobatic competency examiner.
That's correct.
And that's a good thing. Not just you, but everybody in the air show business gets recertified every year.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, and you're right, it is a good thing, because there are some performers that they don't fly 15, 20 shows a year. That may only fly one, or may go a year or two without flying any. It's very important that someone, a qualified person, you know, keeps an eye on us, on all of us, just to make sure that those few that may not be up to snuff anymore, you know, can be caught.
Well, here at EAA Radio, we have talked to a lot of people from the NTSB and several other organizations, and they're talking about pilot proficiency. And as an airshow performer, you have to be extremely proficient at what you do.
Yeah, and you know, and that brings up another point while we're talking about safety. And this applies to performers and spectators, and it's directly towards proficiency. And that is, it's extremely difficult right now in the United States to get a wavered practice aerobatics box to practice in, and so it's very difficult to maintain proficiency for a lot of people. I'm lucky that I have a wavered airspace over my airport, so I can practice all I want to. But for people who don't, and people who've had a lot of difficulty getting a place to practice, there's a lot of times they're left out in the cold, you know, because the airport manager doesn't want it, or maybe the local community doesn't want it, and there's not really a good network in place for those people to get assistance. And I think that the EAA and International Council of Air Shows could do a little more to get together and maybe focus on that as a proficiency issue. And if you have a low-level waiver holder that needs an aerobatic box, then he should be able to get one in a reasonable distance from his from his place of residence in order to remain proficient. I don't think that burden should fall solely on the performer.
I think that's a good idea, Skip, and your concern there is one that I have heard a number of years. It's a very real concern, because in air show flying, you know, there are far too many accidents, and you got to bring your A game, definitely.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Skip Stewart. This is Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.